Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The hands behind K-beauty's rise. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is May the 19th, and we are on our second day of our business article, The K-Beauty Craze. Now, yesterday we talked about the rise of K-Beauty products, and we will continue talking about the invisible people who have helped K-Beauty products become popular all around the world. Now, first, I'd like to introduce Eva. Eva, welcome.
Hi, everyone. So excited to be talking about this today.
Yes, I think you must be our in-house expert for all things Korean.
Well, I'm still learning a lot, but yes, I would like to think so.
Yes, you know, more than most of us on things that are Korean. But first, Eva, I'd like to review. Like yesterday, we talked about these small brands working with these big manufacturers. And then we had the names of two manufacturers. I mentioned Komar because that name, maybe it starts with a K like my last name. It just sticks in my head. Komar and also Cosmax, who we'll talk a little bit more about today. It's very interesting. I'd like to ask you, out of yesterday's part, is there anything that sticks out in your head? Like, is there a concept or is there a word or is there a trend there that you think is worth talking a little bit about right at the start of our program?
Yeah, I think what was interesting to me is there are so many brands out there, but actually the manufacturers are not many.
Yes.
It is all these very big conglomerates, I can imagine, or like just very big manufacturers who are actually helping a lot of these small budding entrepreneurs, you know, get their prototypes out there in the market, you know, just helping them to push out these new trends or new innovations. And it is quite interesting to me because I would have always imagined that these small brands are actually doing it themselves instead of relying on some big manufacturer. But I guess that's how they push it out so fast. Because, yeah, there is someone who is so just skilled in this and knowing the different connections and networks across Korea to help them just develop the products quickly.
And it's actually a really brilliant concept, I think, right? Because like basically for those big manufacturers, we'll get into them more today. Like we have Cosmax, we have Komar. For them, you're basically outsourcing the risk.
Yes.
You're outsourcing the risk to these small companies.
Yeah.
Because these small companies, yes, you're making products for these small companies, but these small companies, they have to come up with the idea.
Yeah.
They're coming up with the idea. They're bringing it to you. So basically, they get so many ideas because just like, for example, inside one company, the number of good ideas we can come up with sometimes is quite limited.
Yeah.
Like we need a lot of stimulation from the outside.
Yeah.
And this way, these big manufacturers, they don't really have to spend so much time just on developing new products. These little brands are bringing the ideas to them.
Yeah.
And then they have to figure out, how do I get it done?
Correct.
Yeah. So today we will talk more about what these big companies are doing. Like, what is the division of labor? Like, what does the big manufacturing do? And then how about the small brand? What does the small brand do? We'll talk more about that. So let's get into our first reading where we talk about the big manufacturers. What do they do?
The big guy. Cosmax was founded in 1992 and has grown into the largest cosmetics ODM in the world, supplying 4,500 brands from its factories in South Korea, China, the US, and Southeast Asia. And at a time when some of the most well-known beauty brands are in decline or stuck in single-digit growth due to consumer fatigue, Cosmax reported a record $1.7 billion in revenue in 2024, a 22% increase from 2023. The company is a primary reason why South Korean beauty startups have been able to take off so quickly, flooding global markets at a pace that competitors in other countries struggle to match. Cosmax accounted for around 26% of all of South Korea's cosmetics exports in 2024. It has a unique ability to develop and launch new products rapidly while still making money supplying even the smallest brands, said Lee Kyung-soo, the company's 79-year-old chairman and founder. From the point a brand comes to us with an idea, we can supply them in as little as 3 to 6 months, he said. In other markets, that can be anywhere between a year to 3 years. They just can't compete with South Korea when it comes to speed.
Eva, let's start with talking about Cosmax.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Cosmax, one of these big manufacturers in the beauty industry. So tell me a little bit more about Cosmax.
Okay, so Cosmax was founded in 1992 and has grown into the largest cosmetics ODM. So ODM is Original Design Manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
Where they help people come up with their own brand, own packaging, own skin or design. And they now supply 4,500 brands from its factories. So that, I can imagine, is, wow, so many different skincare brands on the market and largely, you know, owned, or I would say largely supplied by this Cosmax.
Wow. But that also means if Cosmax goes bankrupt, then 4,500 brands are gone.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, there's also a risk in this, but that's incredible.
I know.
Yeah, one company manufacturing for 4,500 brands. And then you talked about ODM. I think this is a very, very important difference. Like, a lot of the times we're talking about OEM. So OEM is like, for example, Foxconn or Honghai. They make iPhones, right? Like iPhone, much of the iPhone is made by Foxconn. Foxconn, they take Apple's design and they will design it exactly like Apple wants it. And that's what we call OEM or OEM supplier, OEM factory. They will do, like, the customer gives them, this is what I need, this is my specs, this is exactly what I want, and they will design it exactly like the customer asked for, the specs. So we call OEM. But Cosmax is not an OEM. It's an ODM. So the difference is the ODM, they have to manufacture the product. They have to make the product, but they also design and develop the product. So when you're working with a company like Cosmax, like when I have an idea, let's say I have an idea for a new lipstick, I bring it to Cosmax. Cosmax will work with me to design it. So I don't have to tell Cosmax all the exact design details. No, Cosmax, they have a team that will work with me to design it according to my wishes. So that's the difference, OEM, ODM. Okay, let's continue on Cosmax. And then what is interesting about Cosmax is a lot of big beauty brands, they're actually in decline, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Cosmax is not.
Yeah, so I would imagine if there are so many brands out there, I would be spoiled for choice. And I'll be like, okay, I'm tired of this. You know, I have consumer fatigue, as we can see. And I'll be like, maybe I'll just go back to the brand that I used years ago because it has worked for me. You know, I don't see a reason why I have to switch to a new one. And I'll go back to that. But we see that Cosmax has grown and reports a record $1.7 billion in revenue, a 22% increase from 2023. So, you know, $1.7 billion revenue as compared to all those other, you know, companies that are not making money, it's insane.
It's insane. And, you know, perhaps the tide has shifted. Like, something that's very interesting is many older people have very high brand loyalty.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I just think of growing up. Like, there's in our family, we always use Crest toothpaste. Crest is an American brand, yeah. And we always use Crest toothpaste. That is the only toothpaste that, as a child, that's the only toothpaste my dad would buy, Crest. So, like, I was a Crest kid.
Okay.
My toothpaste is always Crest. But these days, I think this generation, like Generation Z or even after, we are not as brand loyal.
Yeah.
Like brand loyalty is a lot lower. Like correct. I can switch brands very fast.
Yes.
Like people who are in Gen Z or after.
Correct.
You can switch brands with a blink. You know,
yes.
like, you don't offer me what I want, goodbye. I will move on to the next brand.
Yeah.
You know, so this is also a reflection of changing, the changing nature of buying things, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are not as brand loyal as we see here. A lot of people have consumer fatigue. And then we go on to say, Cosmac has an outsized influence. So if somebody has an outsized influence, it just means that their influence is much, much, much bigger than you would expect.
Mm.
Because 26% of all of Korea's cosmetics exports last year were all made by Cosmax.
Yeah.
So let's say that we have four lipsticks on the table.
Yeah.
It's very likely that Cosmac made at least one out of the four.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
incredible.
That is.
That's pretty incredible. And then what is interesting about Cosmac, Eva, is it doesn't just make for big companies, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. We see that actually it can make products for people who are very small as well, not just those that are big. I can imagine even someone who has like a 3-person, you know, 2-person, 5-person, as long as they have a great idea, they bring it to Cosmax and Cosmax sees potential in it, they would just help them to develop it.
So yes, even if you're very small, Cosmax is willing to make it for you,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting because, you know, a lot of factories, they have a minimum order, right? Like
yeah.
if you don't make 1,000 units, then too bad. No,
yeah.
like I'm not going to make 50 t-shirts for you. You have to make at least 1,000.
Yeah.
But it looks like Cosmax must be very, very agile. They're very agile in their business approach. And what is their competitive advantage? Because for a company to be that successful in its sector, they must have a competitive advantage. What is one of their competitive advantages?
Well, their competitive advantage is giving the company the supply as little as from 3 to 6 months. So can you imagine, I have an idea, I am like brimming with hope and excitement, and I might be like, oh dear, maybe it takes me a year or 2 years to get it to the market. But a company like Cosmax says, don't worry, I can give you your prototype, your product in 3 to 6 months, and you can go sell it. And that makes me so excited because I'm like, yeah, you know, I can have my idea being taken into a real product and I can just sell it immediately. And that's what Cosmax does for small businesses.
And a lot of times that's the reason that the small business can survive, right?
Because
you can imagine like a startup. Like if you can get your product to market in 3 to 6 months, rather than the usual, here it goes on to say in other markets, it could be anywhere between 1 year to 3 years.
Yeah.
So if I am a small startup and you're telling me I cannot sell any products for 1 to 3 years, you need a lot of cash.
Correct.
To carry you through. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, how are you going to pay yourself? How are you going to pay your employees
yep.
for the next 1 to 3 years?
Yeah.
So this is part of the reason these small startups can actually survive.
Yeah.
Because the time to market is so short, 3 to 6 months. And so one huge competitive advantage that they have is the speed, that speed to market. But, you know, behind that speed, we have to understand that that's because these big manufacturers, they have a lot of expertise in many different areas.
Yep.
In a company like Cosmax or Komar, some of the things that they can do for you, if you research them, you'll find they can suggest trends to you. They can tell you, for example, Eva, you want to do red lipstick, but the fall season, what's going to be in this year, is not actually red. We need to go for more orange hue.
Oh.
So they can actually suggest trends because they have a big R&D team. They have big marketing teams looking into all the trends.
Okay.
So they can do trend suggestion. They can develop your product for you. Of course, they can manufacture their product for you. And they handle all the logistics.
Wow.
Now, logistics is often also a big cost when you're making a product.
Yeah.
How do I get my product from A to B? And if I'm going to export it overseas, they're working with all the logistics companies. So they can do, like, they take all the hard work out of this process.
Yeah.
So you can just spend your time thinking of your brilliant idea.
Correct.
And then trying to think of how do I market it better? Even with marketing, you can talk to this big manufacturer who will give you suggestions and perhaps coach you.
Yeah.
So they do offer very, very well-rounded services so that you can get your product not just fast to market, but you are very well supported across the entire spectrum.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating. I've actually never heard of anything quite like this.
Me neither.
And I guess that's what kind of makes what makes them successful is they have a model that is not seen in other countries. Like, for example, here locally here in Taipei, if I wanted to make a product very, very fast, it's probably not that easy for me to go find a factory that is willing to make very minimum order.
Yeah.
And then, okay, let's say the factory is willing to make like maybe 100 lipsticks the first run. But the problem is, can they do all the other stuff? Can they tell me the trends?
Yeah.
Can they help me develop the product? Can they help give me advice? How do I package it?
Yeah.
Can they, you know, help me ship it to where I'm supposed to ship it to? You know, there's not that many places that have such big manufacturers that can cover almost every step of the process for you. So that is an advantage in South Korea. Well, let's continue into our second reading, and we will continue talking about how do these small brands work with a company like Cosmax.
Fueling a free-for-all. Few clients are too small for Lee. The company supplies companies with billions of dollars a year in revenue and also Blup, a 3-person lip gloss startup. Having big manufacturers like Cosmax do the heavy lifting allows many with little experience in cosmetics to join the K-beauty free-for-all. Anyone can do it. The barrier to entry isn't high at all, said Lee Sung-yong, the founder of fruit-based cosmetics startup Kiki Glow. And the market is all about indie brands right now. As little as $20,000 in starting capital will get beauty entrepreneurs their first batch of product from a reputable cosmetics manufacturer in a matter of months. E-commerce platforms like TikTok Shop allow them to sell to global consumers directly. The only things they need are a concept, a set of thumbs, and a knack for social media.
Well, we talked about a little bit earlier about how Cosmax is willing to take on all sorts of clients.
Mm-hmm.
So here we emphasize again, no client is too small.
Yeah.
They're willing to take on anybody. Right. Well, maybe not anybody. They have to vet, of course, but they're willing to take on much smaller companies. And then one of the examples they give is a company called Blup. I've never heard of Blup.
Me neither.
And how many people does Blup have?
Well, they are a 3-person lip gloss startup. And I can imagine there are so many lip glosses on the market. So these 3 people must have something that is very innovative, you know, that someone as big as Cosmax is willing to take, you know, the risk of just producing this for them.
Yes. So, yeah, even a 3-person startup, it could be me, my mom, and my dad.
Yeah.
That's 3-person startup.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a 3-person startup is working with a big manufacturer. And then I kind of touched on this a little bit, but big manufacturers like Cosmax, they're doing the heavy lifting. Now, when I think of lifting, immediately I think of weights, like going to the gym when you're lifting weights. So if you do the heavy lifting, what are you doing?
When you do the heavy lifting, you are doing the biggest or most difficult part of a task. So I think like you mentioned earlier, you know, all the startup has to do, or all the small enterprise has to do is to come up with the amazing idea, bring it to Cosmax, and they do everything, you know, manufacturing, logistics, just helping you to make sure you get your product into the market.
Yes. So basically, because the heavy lifting or the hard part is actually done by a company like Cosmax, it basically means anybody can start a brand, almost anybody, anybody with a good idea.
Yeah.
And the owner, not the owner, but one startup founder, he says the barrier to entry isn't high at all. What is a barrier to entry?
a barrier to entry, I would imagine, is like a gate, you know, and you want to enter maybe a city or you want to enter an area, and this gate is this barrier that stops you from going in. Mm. And the gate to this industry isn't high at all. You know, he's saying that whatever you want, as long as you have that first requirement, which I would say is the idea, you can actually enter the market already.
Yes. And then he's a success case, kind of, right?
Yeah.
He's an example. So this Lee Sung-yong, and he has a fruit-based cosmetic startup called Kiki Glow. I was thinking he should call himself Kiwi Glow, since it's a fruit-based startup company. And he's a fruit-based, but I mean, there might be somebody out there who wants like things based on fruits, right? Because it's like more natural.
It is.
They want natural makeup. I think of a few friends of mine, they want everything natural. They want no chemicals, no chemicals in their hair, no chemicals in their food, no chemicals in their makeup, you know, like completely organic. And maybe there are people like that who want to buy products from Kiki Glow. And he mentions the market is all about indie brands. Oh, this is interesting. When I usually think of indie, I think of like indie movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eva, do you like indie movies?
I like indie music.
Yes.
I would say that the concept is similar. Indie means something that is very small, very independent. They don't rely on other people to support them. And that's how they want to keep it, not mainstream, but something that's very independent from whatever the trend is out there.
So with indie, usually it's you're serving a very, very small target audience.
Correct, yeah.
Like not everybody's going to like it, but the indie filmmaker or the indie musician is completely okay with it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this is my sound, this is my look, this is my movie. There will be people out there who like it, and it's okay if, you know, that's they're just 0.1% of the world population.
Yeah, like a few special, you know, just supporting them and being part of them.
Yes. So that's the whole concept of indie. So here he says the market is all about indie brands right now because people want to be different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I think this whole trend, people don't want to look like everybody else.
Yep.
You know, you want to be unique, be different. So that is part of the appeal of indie brands. So indie brands, they're on the rise. And then it's not a lot of money if you want to do a startup here.
Yeah.
So how much money would it cost you if you want to get a first batch of a company like Cosmax?
Well, it costs as little as $20,000. And this will get you your first batch of product from a reputable cosmetics manufacturer like Cosmax. And yeah, that's just good news, you know, because it feels like I don't have to pour in a lot of cash, a lot of money. And we already know 3 to 6 months, you know, that's all it takes to get my first product.
Yeah, that's pretty fast.
Yeah.
So yes, with just $20,000, you can work with a reputable cosmetics manufacturing. And reputable, it just means somebody who is respected for their work or respected for doing good work, or a reputable company, a company with a good reputation. Reputable is just an adjective for reputation. So someone with a good reputation. So it's a reputable cosmetics manufacturer. That manufacturer will actually do the job. They're not going to eat your money and run, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to actually do the job. And then we talked in the first day, we talked about now you can actually just sell things online through social media.
Yeah.
Right? And here we have an example of TikTok Shop. With TikTok Shop or many of these different platforms, you can sell directly. Like you're just inside the app. You can just click a link and you can just buy everything in it directly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so easy to sell. But what do you need?
Well, you need, firstly, a concept, you know, because you want to make sure you stand out. You don't want to be the next 1,000 person selling the same type of lipstick. So I think you would need a strong concept. You need a set of thumbs, you know, so because that's what gets the work going. And importantly, in today's world, you need a knack for social media. So a knack means a natural skill or ability. Whether you understand the trend, you understand the target audience, I think having that kind of knowledge will bring you very far. You can reach the people where they are at.
Yes, because everybody's online.
Yeah.
Everybody's on social media.
Correct.
So if you have a knack for social media and a good concept, this could be a good business for you.
Yeah.
Like, this is a business, maybe you should get into it.
Yeah.
So Eva, if you really want to be an entrepreneur, this might be one route you can consider. You can make makeup specific for us here on the island, or maybe even in Singapore.
Yeah.
You know, and, but just make sure you have to remember, you got to fly to Korea and find one of these big manufacturers.
Yep.
And knock on their door and tell them about your brilliant concept.
Mm-hmm.
But before we end, I would like to quickly look over our sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a sidebar. We've been talking for the past 2 days about the incredible rise of K-beauty, how Korean cosmetic companies, they've actually overtaken the French companies in terms of the volume of exports of cosmetics to the U.S., which the U.S. is a huge market. But then, you know, there's always the possibility you could get dethroned. To dethrone just means you lose your spot as number one in the future. And what does our sidebar tell us? Who are the potential candidates for dethroning the Koreans?
Yeah, so, you know, because there are so many new products, affordability is also something that is big. And these options actually come up from China, you know, and elsewhere, you know, and it makes it really hard for anyone to stand out, succeed, or even retain your customers. So actually myself, you know, I started using Korean products more than 10 years ago. And these days I am actually using a lot of China products.
Yeah.
From perfumes to skincare. They're very innovative, very fresh, very different, and they're very affordable as well.
Yeah. So that just means that no matter how successful you are today, you always have to keep innovating and keep running.
Be on your toes, because someone is always catching up, you know, behind you.
Yes, that is such a good reminder. I mean, just your case, Eva, is a good reminder, right? You got into K-beauty very early, earlier than most of us, and now you're already moving on to other products because, like, other countries are catching up
as
well.
Yeah.
You know, so you really need to be on your toes, especially these days when most of our information comes from social media.
Yeah.
So whoever can market their product well on social media, no matter what corner of the world you're in, can, you know, make it big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been a fascinating 2 days. I hope that you, dear listeners, have enjoyed this article and just enjoy the concepts we talked about. And maybe you'll go out and buy your first Korean beauty product or not.
Yeah.
Whether you do or not, at least we all learned something about innovation and also about the invisible support that a lot of times the brands have that we don't see that makes them become
successful.
So that's it for today. And I hope that you will join Eva and I again very soon again on Advanced. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Eva.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye.